with that, we are going to get into our message this morning. We're going to get into part four, and we're going to talk about Moses today, man. We've talked so far about Samson. We talked about Joseph. We talked about Jonah. And if you missed those, man, go back and check them out. I think the first week we had some issues with the videos or something, so you can just listen to it. But that's okay. You can get on there and watch and be a part of what's happening. Our foundation scripture for this entire series is Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. And it says this: "Therefore, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely to us, and let us run the race with endurance that is the race that is set before us." So, thinking this thought, in chapter 11, it talks about the heroes of the faith and what they did, and by faith they did this, and by faith they did that. And how many of you know everything we get from God, we receive by faith? Without faith, it's impossible to please Him, because to be able to come to Him, you must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him, right? That's what the scripture says. And so we need to have faith. And how do we walk out everything in our life? It's by faith. It's by not understanding, but stepping out. By not seeing God moving and working in this area, but understanding that He is. And so because of it, I can move on through the situation, right? And I'm going to talk about sometimes God takes us out of the situation by faith, and sometimes He leaves us right in the middle of the situation and allows us by faith to walk through them with His help, right? I'm just going to be real with you. I find in my life it's more of the latter than it is the former. He leaves me there and lets me walk through it a lot more than He just like, okay, let me take you out of this. And I'm going to explain why in just a little bit. Why I know He does it in my life, but I think He does it in most of our lives. But we're going to go through today. We have all these men and women who did amazing things that we can learn from, that we can take and apply to our lives. The principles that are there, the thought process that are there, so that we are able to step. Do you know what I love about the video that we just watched, the young man that was there? Now, he is there helping people go through the same place that he was at, right? And that's what God has called us to do in our lives, with the struggles, with the things that we go through, with the issues that we battle, so that we can glorify Him and that we can use the talents, abilities, the gifts, the strength that He's given us to get through that situation to help others get through that situation. Let me tell you this one thing, though. You don't have to be all the way through the situation to try and help somebody else through the situation, too. Okay? I want to let you know that, right? Well, I'm still struggling in that area. That's okay. You and them to get together, you guys may strengthen each other to help each other get through. Right? So, think that thought. But anyway, if we think about these people, and so the book that I read years ago, it was about the stadium and how each one would come out of the stands and run a lap with the runner that was running the race and encourage them and build them up. And so if we use that thought process and we say, if Moses could come out of the stands as I'm running my race, if he could come down and walk along with me, what advice, what words of wisdom would he give me to be able to do my life the best that I can be because of what God has done in his life? You guys get the premise? You understand what? So today we're going to talk about him. And if you look at Moses' life, he had a really crazy, messed up, used by God, amazing life, right? So you say, it started off crazy, right? And we're going to get to that. And then he messed up, right? And then God still used him. And then everybody that was around him was blessed because of his messed up life, right? Because of what God did through his life. And I don't know about you, but I can relate to that in my life, right? I can see some messed up times. I can see where I messed up. I can see where some messed up things came upon me that I had nothing to do with, but they were still there. And I can see how God brought me through all those things to where I stand now. Look, I'm not complete. I'm imperfect. I still got messed up ways and areas. And whew. Don't ask my wife. She could probably give you a much longer list than I could come up with, right? But she wouldn't do that. She wouldn't do that because love keeps no record of wrongs. Remember that. Anyway, remember that. Anyway. Woo. That's a whole nother message right there, y'all. We're going to go back to the thing. I love about the people in the Bible and the faith that they had to be able to walk through it. And this is the thing. When we read about them, it gives us hope in our situation. When we think about our situation and how, even though it's not exactly the same, the principles are the same in it, it gives me hope to understand that I'm going to make it through it. Because God's going to bring me through it. Because God never left anybody behind. You see that in the scripture. He uses imperfect people to do extraordinary things. And Moses is actually in the list of the Hall of Fame of faith in chapter 11. And so thinking that thought, if he came down and talked to us, the one thing that I think that we need to understand that he may say to us is that to live by faith. Because, I mean, you know, he lived by faith. Like his whole life was by faith. Even from before he made his decisions, the decisions made for him were by faith. To live by faith, first in your notes, we need to recognize that God is already at work in you. So when I was far from God, God was still at work in my life. I can look back right now and see areas and places in my life that God saved me from myself, from my bad decisions, from what I had going on in my life, so that I could stand here today. Right? And before I even came to him and said, I want to do what you want me to do, be like, well, God already knows what's happening. It's okay, I'm going to help you with something. This is how I see it. All right? This is how I see it. And it's okay if you disagree, because we don't all get it right anyway. But this is the thing. I know God knows what's going to happen. He's not confined by time as we are. Right? A day for us is 1,000 for him. Right? He's not confined by that. So he already knows where I'm going, what's going to happen in my life. But he has not lined it out and said, this is what's going to happen in Toby's life. He's going to choose to do drugs. He's going to choose to do this. He's going to be messed up with that. And then I'm going to save him at the end. And it's going to be great. This is not a Hollywood script, okay? That's not our lives. Now, does he know the decisions that I'm going to make? Yes. In my belief, what I read in the scripture is that we have free will. I can choose to follow him. I can choose not to follow him. He didn't write a script and say, I want Toby and I don't want this one. Or I want this one, but I don't really want Toby, regardless of what he does, right? So I'm not in that boat. I don't ride that way. I am in the thought process that God has had. Okay, I'll use the scripture. Y'all ready? Today, I've placed before you blessing and cursing, life and death. I want you to choose life. But you got to choose, right? So in understanding all those things, I don't want you, when I talk about the plan of God for your life, I don't want you to think that God's written out everything and that you have to follow a script. And that, I think we get caught on that. Like, what is the will of God for my life? I have to be in the perfect will of God for my life, or the sky's gonna fall. You know what I'm saying? We get in that thought process when we would just walk by faith and follow the Spirit. We probably wouldn't need the whole plan. We could just walk day by day in what He's given to us, and we would walk out the plan that's in our life. All right? So, just a thought. But what I want us to understand is that even in the midst of our own stupidity, God is still working on us. Well, y'all aren't stupid. That's not stupidity. Even in the my stupidity, let me put it back to me. Even in the midst of my stupidity, I can tell y'all that, He still worked in my life, right? He still was doing things that enable me to be who I am today, right? And able to walk in what He's given to me. Moses, we look at his life. In some areas of our life, we're going to have situations that we can't control, that are just thrown on us. And we have to walk them out, right? You look at Moses, you look at the beginning of his life. So, we're going to go, this is what it says in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 23. It says, by faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child. And they were not afraid of the king's edict. So the king's command at that time, they knew that there was going to be, Israelites were in Egypt, in slavery to Pharaoh. There was a prophecy, there was a word spoken that there was going to be one who would arise from the Israelites and free them from the slavery, from the bondage that was there, right? In our Bible, all the stories that are there, all the things that God did throughout history, we can, most of them, almost all of them, we can align to point to what Christ is going to do. Right? We see people in bondage. We see a hero come, someone appointed by God to come and to give his life. To do. Now, Moses didn't die, but he gave everything that he had, his ministry, and we're going to get to that in a minute. And freedom came. Right? It's like they call it a type and shadow of Christ, right? We can look back and see what Christ is going to do, how Christ came, and there's, anyway, that's another message too. But in the story of Moses, in his beginning years, the Israelites are slaved. The king ordered that all Hebrew boys be killed under a certain age because he wanted to take them out. Does that sound familiar about Jesus when he was born? Anyway. We see these things, but Moses' mother hid him until she couldn't hide him anymore, and then she put him in a basket in the Nile River and floated him down the river. Have y'all seen the National Geographic Nile River things? They got crocodiles everywhere and hippos that eat all kind of stuff, and like that's a dangerous place to put your kid. Like, I'm gonna keep him safe. Let me put him in the river in a basket. I would have probably chosen another place, but they did it, right? They did it, but again, God has a way of taking everything and making it work out the way it's supposed to work out, right? So they go, and they float him in the Nile River. It just so happens that he floats right into Pharaoh's daughters, where she was in having a swim time, bath time, right? She was in the river. That's another whole thing about, anyway. She says, I want this baby. It's a little Hebrew baby. My dad's killing them all, but this one's cute. I want to keep him, right? That's basically what happened. And as you read the story, I'm not going to read it all the way through. It's there, Exodus chapter 5, verses 5 through 10. I had it on the board. We're going to skip over that, y'all. But what happens is the sister starts walking down and following to see what happens from a distance and sees Pharaoh's daughter get it. And here's what she says about it. She runs up. She says, hey, I don't know if you got anybody that can take care of it, but I know a lady that wouldn't mind. Just so happened, who was it? It was his mom. So not only did she get to keep her child for a period, she got paid to do it. You see that? Have you ever thought about that? I wasn't thinking about that until I was just saying, like, she got paid to take care of her own child. Yeah, it's lanyap. It's a bonus. It's extra. She named him Moses because it said, she named him Moses because I drew him out of the water. That's the translation of what Moses is, apparently, according to the scripture. But what happened is it's so crazy that they had faith. They said, I'm not going to allow anything to happen to this one. God, we don't know what to do. We're going to put this in your hands. How many of you know putting a kid in a basket and covering it up and putting it in a river with crocodiles and hippos and crazy currents is saying, God, I ain't got nothing. I'm going to put it in your hands. Do you know sometimes we get to the very end of everything before we put it in his hands? They could have said, I'll try and find something. They could have said, we'll try and sneak away and get away and take him with us. But do you know what would have happened? Not what God was going to bring about through it, right? We see here in the block of scripture, she floated down the river. They took care of him. I know somebody that wants a job. Let me give you this point. Let me give you this thought. You will never discover what God can do until you trust him with what you can't do. You'll never discover what God can do until you trust him with what you can't, right? You got to give it to him. And watch, because this is the thing. Our God has no limitations, like none. Like if you like, well, what about, no, he doesn't have any. We have limitations. He doesn't. That's why it's important to remember that God and recognize that God is at work in our situations, even if we don't see him. Even if we don't see him. Moses could have died, but God had another plan. Let me tell you something about your life. There are some things that the enemy wanted to do to kill, steal, and destroy your life. But God didn't allow it to happen. God had a different plan. God had a different plan. You know what that plan was? You know what? So, if you're going out 44, Orange Avenue. And you're going out like you're going to go to D-Land, right? On the right-hand side, there's a new feed store. And it's right underneath Rapture Air sign coming from that way, right there. There's a 6-foot chain link fence. And a car shop, the mechanic shop right across the street. Right there in 1998, I ran head-on into a tractor, coming back drunk from Orlando. I ran head-on into a tractor trailer and flipped my truck 5 times. 45 minutes into being on the scene, they hadn't even come to my truck because they're like, that dude's dead. Right? Because it was flipped upside down. I had a 76 F1. It was beautiful, y'all. You remember, Shane? It was beautiful. Anyway, it was jacked up. See, he's like, yeah. Anyway, it was jacked up. It was nice, man. It was an amazing truck. Had dog box on the back. Had everything that a good redneck needed, right? I was there, man. And I ran head on into a tractor trailer, flipped my truck 5 times. It's upside down. And so it set this high off the ground, right? And then when they had it at Jimmy's house, or at Gene's house, it was this high off the ground, the whole truck. That's what happened to it. What had happened was I had gotten thrown into the floorboard, and the truck smashed, and the cop said if he'd have been wearing his seatbelt, he would have been dead. By the way, here's his no seatbelt ticket. You know, that's kind of how it went at that time. But look, the enemy had a plan for my life and wanted to steal, kill, and destroy. God had another plan. And people are like, well, you're lucky you made it out of that one. No. Luck ain't got nothing to do with it. God had a plan. Now, I got a plate and 6 screws in my foot. I got a pin and a screw, in this foot. When it's about to rain, I'm like, yep, about to rain. You know, that's how it works. But do you know what? God brought me through that because he had a plan. He had a plan. You know what? There's some stuff in your life that you were supposed to be overcome by. Maybe it was an addiction, or maybe it was just a situation that you were overcome by. You're like, I'm not going to make it out of this. I can't. Maybe the doctors have given you a prognosis, a diagnosis, whatever you call it, right? And they're like, this is what's going to happen to you. That may have been what was going to happen to you, but God has a plan, right? Instead in the situation, we've won the battle, right? Remember, we're fighting from a place of victory, not for victory. There's a difference. Now we're an overcomer. The situation didn't get us. You overcame the situation. How did you overcome the situation? Because you're just really good. No. By the grace of God, we get everything. By the grace of God, we have overcome. So the struggles, this is the thing. Struggles will always be a part of our life. Jesus didn't say, in this world, you might get one or two things that don't go your way. No, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. You're going to have problems. But cheer up. I have overcome the world. And if I'm in Christ, I'm more than a conqueror, according to Scripture. The obstacles that seem to be preventing us from accomplishing our purpose, man, are actually the things that make us stronger and able to accomplish what we're supposed to walk through. Without the struggle, we never develop into what God wants us to do. So this thought is, it's the struggles of life that make us stronger. And where do you get that? Look in the book of James. Count it all joy. Look what it does. So thinking that thought, I was thinking this morning, I was laying in the bed and just thinking there and going over the message in my head because I didn't want to get out of it, you know. I was just laying there and the thought of the butterfly came to my mind. So you say, why is that? Because this is what happens. A butterfly is really ugly and messed up, right? According to some think they're beautiful at that point. Then they go into the cocoon and they come out completely changed, right? But one of the things that you need to know about the butterfly is that when it starts to come out of the cocoon, right, it has to do its wings like this. It has to do its wings like that. And if you help the butterfly and you cut the cocoon off of them, that butterfly will never fly. Because it's the process of breaking and coming out of it that strengthen their wings to be able to flap and make them be able to do what they're supposed to do. The beautiful thing that we see. So in fact, and when we think about that thought process, and we're like, God, take us out of the situation. Take me out of the situation. No, because you'll never be able to be strong enough to handle what's coming after this. When you go through the situation, when you say, God, help me, allow me to be content, allow me to see what you have for me, help me to walk through this situation, right? That's when we're strengthened, and then we're able to do what he's called us to do. It's the struggles of life that makes us stronger. And trusting on him and allowing him to bring us through those things. So number two in your notes, that's the first thing. The number two in your notes, to live by faith, we have to refuse to be defined by anything but God. But what his word says about us. So the world, this culture, man, they're going to put labels on us. They're going to say this. You remember in high school, there was the different, like, there was the jocks, there was the stoners, there was the preps, there was the nerds. You know, there was all these kinds, and you was in a category. The world puts a label and says, this is who you are, defined by what we think, right? God has a completely different thought process about who we are and what we can do, right? You look at all of them throughout the scripture. Look at David, right? And I'm gonna talk about him, so I ain't gonna go too far into him. Look at David. He wasn't even allowed to come to the party to see who was gonna be named king. He was thought that low of on the totem pole in the household. The kingdom of the eighth child. I heard a really good message preached about that one time, about the kingdom of the eighth child. And maybe I'll do that one day. But what happens was is he wasn't identified by what the world said he was. The people in the scripture, they said all these things about people, and they said, look how amazing this guy is. Look how amazing that guy would be. Look at Saul. Look how he turned out, right? He's head and shoulders above everybody. I was like, that's who we want as king. He's hiding in the luggage, right, when it's time for him to come out and do stuff. Like, come on out, king. He's like, I'm in the luggage. Let me just stay here, right? That's what he thought of himself. Why did he think that? Because I guarantee you that there were people in his life that said, you're not good enough. You can't do this. You have that. These are your problems. These are your limitations. Do you know what, man? Don't put limitations, man, especially on kids. Don't speak stuff into their lives, right? Don't do it. Instead, look at the scripture and teach them. Teach them what his word says about them so that they get a real opinion of who they are and what they are and about looks and what that matters, right? Oh, my goodness. Culture will give us labels. It will say, this is who you are. If Moses had one thing to say, he said, don't be defined by anything but by what God is. So we look at it and we see the labels that were tried to be pinned on him. We see Pharaoh's daughter take him. And this is one of the cool things. And this is a cool little parallel. I'm probably not going to read all the scriptures that we put out. I'm probably just going to roll through it, y'all, so help me with that. I'm sorry. Jesus. This is what we go and we see Pharaoh's daughter holding the baby when she gets him and talking about, oh, you're going to be the next best thing. I'm going to groom you. There's so many great things that I'm going to do with. Look, you can have anything you want. You can do anything you want. If it feels good to you, just do it. It's going to be okay. So we have that. Then we have his mother, who's paid to raise her own child, saying, you're a child of God. He's going to do amazing things with you. You're not an Egyptian. God's got something special for you. You are his chosen one. You are going to do some amazing things. Do you know what? You can say to your child, you're his chosen one, your daughter. Do you know why? Because he chooses us. He chooses us. We're chosen to do something for him, each and every one of us. She's sitting here talking about how what God says about him. So Moses as a kid has two different things being put into his system. Sound familiar? Hopefully, kids today are having God put into their system and not just the world's voice. She's speaking life over him. She's speaking all these different things about who God, what God wants to do with him and how special he is. He could have done either or. He could have said, man, I want the things of this world. Man, having everything I want, being the top dude, sounds like a really good plan. This is Toby translation of the Bible, you know. I think it's even worse than the message sometimes. But anyway, Toby translation, there it is, right? This is. I can do whatever I want. I'm chosen. I'm called. God has something special for me, but I can't have that too. What do I want to choose? What do I want to choose? Again, back to free will. You have a purpose. You belong to God. I'm grooming you. You can have power, riches. You can have all these things. Verse 11, we see. Verse 11. Exodus chapter 2, verse 11. It says, one day when Moses had grown up, he went out to his people and looked on their burden. And he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his people. So he made a stand and said, listen, I'm going to be not defined by what the world says or what society says or what culture says that I'm going to be. I'm defined by who I am in God, who I am in Christ. Do you know what? You have choices today. Who are you going to be defined by? Are you going to be defined by the world, by what everything else says, or are you going to be defined by what God says about you? What God's word says that you can be, that he created you to be. One of the things that we need to understand about our purpose, that our plan, that we're not here on this earth just to live and die. We're not just here to wake up, go to work, eat lunch, go to work, come home, watch TV, eat dinner, go to bed. It's not what we were designed for. It's not what we were designed for. And it's very, very easy to get caught in that trap. We have a purpose. And you want me to tell you what your purpose is? Everybody's like, what's my purpose? Your purpose is to have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That's what your purpose is. Everything else should form a line behind that. Everything else should form a line behind that. A relationship. That's your true identity. That's who Moses was called to be. That's the identity that God had given to him, right? Sorry. Our true identity is in God, and we need to understand that. So whatever world label the world is trying to put on us, whether it's unloved or failure or hopeless, do you know what? That's what the world gives to everyone. That's what the world tells everyone. If you don't have what we're selling, you're hopeless. Nobody likes you. That's what it comes to. But God is saying, man, you belong to me. Just like his mother, Moses' mother, you belong to God. You belong to me. I want you to be a part of my family. I have a plan. I have a purpose. I've adopted you. I'm not against you. I'm for you. 1 Peter 2:9 says, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, my special possession, God says God, that you may declare the praises of me who called you out of darkness and into wonderful light. You are who God says you are, not the labels that the enemy tries to put on you and get you to believe. He's changed us. We may have been that at one time. We may have been these things. I may have been hopeless at one time. We are all unworthy. Except grace. We went from unloved to love. We went from unworthy to worthy. Hopeless to hopeful. A loser to a winner. We're more than victorious. Hurt to healed. A sinner to a saint. Defeated to an overcomer. That's what God says about us in his word. What label are you going to allow him to put on you? What label are you going to walk by? Which voice are you going to listen to? Number two in your notes, refuse to be defined by anything but God. Number three, use what God gives you. In the story of Moses, Moses gave God every excuse as to why he couldn't do it. What if they don't listen to me? What if they can't understand me? I just stutter, right? Whatever. I'm slow of speech is what he said. I know I have a disability. I know I can't speak good. I know I've got this problem. I know this. I know this. I know this. And God said, don't tell me what things you don't have. Tell me what you do have. Tell me what you do have. Tell me what I've already given to you. See, one of the things when I go back about Moses being grown up in Pharaoh's house, one of the things that we fail to think about or understand is that when Moses came back, he knew all the customs to stand in front of Pharaoh. He knew exactly what to do because he had been groomed to be in his house. So he knew the protocols, what he had to do, what he couldn't do, how he had to do these things. He knew exactly what to do. If he hadn't grown up there, he would be walking in clueless as to what was happening. But he wasn't. God prepared him long before he had to stand in that spot to be able to stand in that spot. God has given you, look, God has given you everything you need to overcome whatever's coming at you. Everything. Everything. Now, when you look at it, you're going to be like, look, I don't have what it takes to do that. That's exactly where you need to be. Because I got to rely 100% on God, which we should be doing already anyway. Right? Tell me what you do have. Quit telling God what you don't have and start thanking him for what you do. Right? Perspective. Perspective. Moses is telling God what he can't do, why he can't do it in Exodus chapter 4. And then this is what happens in verse 2 and 3. It says, the Lord said, what's in your hand? He said, a staff. And he said, throw it on the ground. So he threw it on the ground and it became a serpent. And Moses ran from it. So Moses was like most of us. He was scared of the snake and he ran away from his stick, right? So you think about this thing. You think about that. But look, what has God given you that you have in your hand and that's all you can see it being? That's all you can see it being. You say, what do you mean? But when I put it in God's hands, he turns it into something totally different. Something unexpected. Something amazing. I mean, if you're a snake lover, this was really cool, right? Huh. My wife would have ran like twice as far as Moses, right? So he transformed it into something. And it wasn't what he thought it was anymore. He saw that with God, what I have is something totally different than what I think it is. God will use what you have and transform it into something you never could have imagined that he could use. So, my addictions I had in my past, I saw no good thing ever coming out of them. I'm just going to be real with you. When I was in 24, I had just come back down here from Missouri. I moved up to Missouri for a little bit by myself and stayed with some family. And then I come back down here and I met somebody I used to know a long time ago, and they wanted to have a relationship. And I said, I'm not going to do that to you. I said, because I like you, first of all. And I'm not going to do that to you because I'm going to be a 40-year-old drunk on a bar stool. That's my life. And I don't want to bring you to it. So I had taken what other people had told me was going to be my life, told me what I was. When I got kicked out of the way, you'll never amount to nothing. You're worthless. Look at where you're at. Look at the issues that you got. You'll never be. That was told to me as I walked off the ship with my papers by the person that was walking me off the ship, right? That's who you are. And you know what? I owned it and I wore it, and that's who I was for about 4.5, 5 years. And it wasn't until I saw what God said about me that it changed everything. Right? So I know what labels are. I know what walking to those labels are. I know what living out what people put on you is. Don't do it. Don't do it. God can take my mess, like, look, don't you see? Okay, yeah, God, I'm going to tell you what I got. I got this. Look how jacked up it is. He's like, no. Look, I'm going to turn it into something beautiful. I'm going to turn it into something amazing. Now, you're going to go through some struggles. You're going to go through some times of strengthening that you got to come through. But when you get done, you ain't even going to be able to recognize it. You ain't even going to be able to recognize it. And this is the thing. God gives us stuff in our life. God gives us talents. God gives us abilities, right? You might look at your life and say, I don't have anything. You do. He gives each and every one of us one. A gift, an ability, a talent, something that we can do for him. And you say, well, I can't see it out of that. Give it to God. Watch what he does. But this is what I want you to understand. And this is a quote that I've used before. I really like it, though. Is your talent is God's gift to you. What you do with that is your gift back to him. What I do with the abilities, with the talents, with the things he's given me, that is my gift to give to him. Doesn't buy me salvation. It doesn't buy me access to him. No. It is me saying, God, I'm taking what you've given me, and I'm going to use it for you however I can. And whatever that looks like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. We all have those, man. Huh. Don't look at what you have. look at what you have to do. Don't look at what you have. Look at what you have to do. God's given you something to do with that gift. Take it and use it. Use what he's given to you. You say, well, I don't have a gift. Again, 1 Peter 4:10 would disagree with you. It says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as God, as good stewards of God's varied graces. So we each have a gift. What is that gift for? For me to serve other people. Why do you have your gift? For you to take care of other people. And in taking care of other people, you work out the purpose God's laid out for your life. You start walking in the plan. You wanna be a good steward with what he's given you. You wanna be effective for his kingdom? Like, I ain't got nothing. I don't know what I can. Do the smallest thing you can that's next to you and do it. Do it as best as you can. And you know what? He'll give you something else to do. And then by the end of it, you're like, how on earth was all that accomplished? Because God is good. And he allowed you to be a part of what he was doing. Use your gifts, man. Use your talents. Don't sit on them. Don't sit on them. Use what you have. Moses would tell you this lesson. He would tell you to walk by faith. He would say, recognize that God is already at work in you. Refuse to be defined by anything but God. Use what God gives you. And the last one, use it to impact those around you. Again, what I just said. We're supposed to use everything he's given us to impact other people. Living for God doesn't only affect your life. It affects everyone that is around you. Hebrews chapter 24, verse 11. Talking about Moses and talking about the last plague that was there. And it says, by faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians attempted to do the same, they were drowned. So God does what Moses called him to do. He says, hey, this is what you're going to do. This is what we as God's people are going to do. We're going to apply the blood to the doorposts. How do you describe that and explain that to people to do? Like, just think. I know that was a different culture than we're in. But, hey, man, take some blood and just spread it all over your front door. And God's going to save you because you applied the blood. Now, they understood the sacrifice, the sin sacrifice, a lot more than we do, right? Because of how they did it and what they went through and how it was accomplished in their life. But they did it. And because they did it, someone else was saved. Think that thought. Because of my actions, someone else gets to know the freedom of God. Because of my actions. Because of how I live my life. Then, think this thought. I'm going to take a step further. This is the thought we don't like to think. You know how when you think one thought, there's another thought come with it? Equal and opposite reaction? People come to God or are pulled away from God because of your actions and my actions and how I walk out my faith. My faith affects other people. Because this is one thing. Everybody's like, you got to have fruit in your life. No. You got to have good fruit in your life. Everybody has fruit. Everybody has fruit. What's that one thing? You're like, don't eat those. They'll kill you. The little berry things that we saw. Virginia creeper. He's like, dude, don't eat the berries off that. You'll die. I'm like, thanks. I won't eat those. Can you make sure I remember what those are when I get to the next one? Right? Tell me what. Like, don't eat those. You'll die. Fruit. There's all kinds of fruit that comes forth. We want good fruit. We want fruit that sustains, that builds up, that allows people to grow. We see all these things. Then we see going into the wilderness. They say, like, I'm hungry. So God starts providing manna from the sky, right? I'm thirsty. So has Moses tap a rock. Of course, he hits rock. That's a whole other thing, too. But and water comes forth. And they have water, provision. What did Moses be like? They're being cranky. I ain't slapping that rock, God. I ain't doing it. God could have found a way to get water to him. I'm just going to be honest. But it wasn't the way that God intended it to be. Moses wouldn't have been used by it. Some of us are refusing to do what God's called us to do despite the other people. Think that thought. None of you guys, of course. None of y'all. But some people are holding on to their gift and not using it. And because of it, other people around them are not being affected the way that God wants to affect their lives, wants to input into their lives. It all impacts. It comes around you. When they come to the water, this is chapter 14, verse 13. But Moses told the people, don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. Do you know sometimes, again, as I said earlier, there's a fine line in how it works. So if you're not walking by the Spirit, you could mess it up. Just be real. But sometimes God gives us what we need to do and says, I want you to do this. And we do it. And then sometimes we're called to just step back, keep our hands completely off of it, and watch God do what only He can do. Right? We need to pray and ask wisdom so that we know which one to do. And you'll get the wisdom to do it. You know how I know? Because it says, if anybody likes wisdom, let them ask, and God will give it to them. Right? So he says at this point, he says, just stand still, watch the Lord rescue you today. And the Egyptians that you see today will never be there again. The Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. There's a lot of things that we need to understand. We need to take our hands off and let God fight it for us. Stay calm. Stay out of it. Don't say nothing. Don't do nothing. Don't respond. Right? Be real. Then this is what happened in verse 21. It says, then Moses raised his hand over the sea. The Lord opened up the path through the water with a strong east wind. And the wind blew all night, turning the seabed into dry land, so that the people of Israel walked through the middle of the sea on dry ground with the walls of water on each side. So not only did he part it in time for them to come through, he parted it and they weren't walking in mud. How many of you have ever walked in the muck that comes on the side of the thing when you're walking up to the water and it's all between your toes and it, duh? He didn't send that to them. He made it dry ground that they got to walk across. And they walk across him. What did they have to do to make that dry ground? They had to fan it? They had to do something? No. He said, watch, I'm going to take care of you. I am going to make a way where there seems to be no way. And it's going to be your salvation. It's going to be your way of escape. It's going to be your freedom. So in the midst of your battles, when you think you're overcome and you think you can't get through it, the scripture says that he will always give us a way of escape from temptation. Right? That's what the scripture says. He will always allow us to be able to come out. Moses will tell us that our faith-filled life will impact the other people around us. Nothing's too big for God. And if I start stamping out and I start walking and I start doing what I'm supposed to do, God can change everything. Then we look back at Exodus chapter 9, verse 16. And this is the New Living Translation I think I have in here. I'm sorry, I didn't put the other one in. God speaks to Moses and he says this, I have spared you for a purpose. Do you know God has brought you through everything that you've been through? The ups, the downs, the bad things, the situations he's carried you through and brought you through because he has a purpose for you. If he didn't have a purpose, what would be the point of bringing you through it? Right? If he wasn't going to do something amazing with it, then why would he even bother with it? Just a thought. Just a thought. I have a purpose for you. The purpose for Moses and the purpose for each one of us as well. This is one of those things he's speaking to someone, but it's for all of us. Okay, there are some things that they say, you know, if I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. He's talking to Jeremiah, right? That's who he's talking to at that point. But the principle and what he said is still for each and every one of his children, right? This is another one of those things that he spoke to Moses, but it's for each and every one of us. He says this, but I have spared you for a purpose. And that purpose is to show you my power and to spread my fame throughout the earth. We have amazing things, as I talked about miracles, when we talked about Jonah, that we see that happen.
How can we explain them? We can't. How do we understand them? We don't. It just is, right? But what we do know, those things happen so that we can see the glory of God and share them with other people. He's done some amazing things in your life. He's brought you through some amazing things. And you say, you tell us this over and over and over because I want you to get it. You know, this is what it says. It takes at least 7 times before you actually remember something. I need to tell my wife that one, right? Anyway. Oh. I'm telling you this over and over and over, all right? Revelation 12:11 says that they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So they by the blood of Jesus Christ and what he did for us when he died on the cross, right? And by the word of our testimony, not what he did for us, but what he's done in us is what overcomes the devil. And I want to share something with you. People tell me that I'm very transparent about some issues and like I shouldn't be as transparent about certain things. And I disagree. I disagree. And this is why I disagree. Some people, this is okay for. I disagree. I don't believe in giving an unedited version or an edited version of my testimony to people. Now, this is what I don't want to do. I don't want to glorify the sinful nature that I walked in. But I do want you to understand exactly where I came from. When I met my wife, and she says you shouldn't say that anymore, but I still say it. When I met my wife on our first date, we sat down, and I'm a very forward person in some areas, and I'm very reserved in some others. It just depends. But we sat down at Chili's on Segan Lane in Baton Rouge, and I told her within the first 5 minutes of our first date, first time we was ever just me and her together, I said I was an alcoholic, I was a drug addict, I dated strippers my whole life. I said, but God changed me, and I'm looking for my wife. If you're not her, I don't need to waste your time or mine, right? And I told her that. And people are like, well, why are you that blunt about it? Because I want her to know what, first of all, she was getting into, because I don't want stories to come back later about how jacked up I was in my life, and her be like, well, you never told me all these things. And if she can't get over it, then we didn't need to continue to date for 6-8 months for us to get involved and then her find out about my past and be like, I don't want that anymore, right? So that's not biblical stuff, but that's what I'm trying to get is don't give an edited version of what God has done for you. Well, I had a little problem with drinking. No, you were an alcoholic. God delivered you from it. Well, recreational use and drugs. No, you were an addict. Let's be real. And God delivered you from it. I was bound up by whatever. I'm going to leave a blank and let you insert so I don't miss yours, right? I had this in my life. Don't edit it. Don't sugarcoat it. Be real. Say, this is who I was. This is who I am now. And it's only by the grace of God. Only by the grace of God. Sometimes we edit our testimony because we want to preserve our reputation. Well, I don't want you to think bad about who I was and about what I've done. And I don't want you to look at me because of this, that, and the other. Now, granted, there's some parts you should probably skip over fast. Don't give all the details. We don't need all the details, right? Like, well, then this happened and then this. No. But let's give our honest, because let me tell you something, man. There may be somebody sitting to your left or to your right now that is battling with the issues that you've edited from your testimony. And struggling with those things so hard and like nobody ever goes through exactly what I'm going through. And when you follow the leading of the Lord, when you give your testimony, when you say, no, this is who I was, this is what I did, this is how it happened, but God has delivered me from it. And he can for you too. Let's understand why the things have happened in our past. Maybe not why, but what has come out of the things that have happened in our past. God has brought us through them, and he's given us amazing testimony, amazing ammunition to fight against the enemy in other people's lives. Let's don't keep that to ourselves. Let's allow what he's done in us to glorify him. Let's allow what he's done in our lives to impact those people that are around us. Right? And let's worry more about what they think of Jesus when we get done with our conversation than what they think about us. Amen. Man, Let's worry more about how they see him than about how they see me. Just a thought. Oh, one of the things that we do understand, and we need other people to understand, is God is not intimidated by your failures in the past. God is not intimidated about what you've done or who you've been or anything on your resume of sin that he takes when you accept his son and what he's done for you. Right? You don't realize that's the only thing that we get, that he gets out of the deal, our sin. You ever seen a one-sided deal? We get it with him. He gets all the bad. But you know what? That's not 100% a true statement. Because when we give him ourselves, he gets all of us, the good and the bad. He should have all of us. Let's give it to him, man. Let's give it to him. Moses was a murderer. He forgave him about that. Let's give our testimony. Let's allow. And again, these are some cliches, but they're so true, man. Let's put God in the middle of our mess so he can make it a message, right? Let's let God be a part of the test that we're going through so it can be a testimony. And then let's put God in the darkest parts of our lives so that his son can light it up and take that darkness away, take the issues away, take the problems away. If you have a faithful life, it will be an impact to every person that's around us. So in closing, man, you guys, you can come back up, man, Aaron. Recognize what God is already doing at you, man. Don't overlook the fact that God is working in your situation right this minute, even if you don't see him. And he's going to make you stronger so that you can go through the other situations, the things that are going. He's going to prepare you for what lays ahead. He's putting you in Pharaoh's court so that you'll understand what you need to do when you get there, making you comfortable in that position. Recognize he's already working in you. Don't be defined by anything in life. Refuse to be defined by anything in life but God. Use what God has given you. Don't try and use what he hasn't. We'll get to that another week too. And allow your life to impact those around you by walking in faith. And allowing others to see what God can do with your mess, right? What God can do with your situation, your test. What God can do with a life that is given to him. How do we do that, man? As I said earlier at prayer time, man, humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God. That's what we do. We need to humble ourselves and come and say, God, I get it, man. All these people had to have a moment where they said, you know what? I'm going to trust you. I still don't see it, maybe, but I'm going to trust you, right? God even gave Moses a backup. He said, well, when you get there and you can't say something, just whisper in Aaron's ear, he'll tell him, right? Then when Moses got there, he finally understood, God, you've brought me to this place. He didn't shut up long enough for Aaron to say nothing. He was just standing there, all awkward and stuff. That's how I see it in my mind. He's just like, I thought I was supposed to do something. Anyway, I know, y'all, I'm sorry. My brain works weird. He's giving you some awkward people to stand beside you so that you can do what you're supposed to do. Because it gives, do you know what? He wasn't alone. He wasn't alone. He wasn't standing there by himself. He had somebody to stand there and support him. Aaron doesn't get much credit out of what happened except for when he made the calf. Just read ahead. Y'all will see it. But it's one of those things that he was there and he supported. And the reason why we have the church, it's not so that you can come and sit here and sing some songs and listen to me talk on Sunday. Now, those things are important, right? Don't get me wrong. I'm not neglecting. We shouldn't neglect church. Scripture says that. Don't neglect something of yourselves together, even more as the day approaches. How many of you know the day is approaching even more, right? But what we do forget, what we do miss, man. I'm trying to say it. We end up with a consumer mentality when it comes to church.
Straight up.
We come with a consumer. What is church going to do for me? When the purpose for you coming to church every Sunday and being here is not what church can do for you. It's how can I impact the people that are sitting next to me? How can I encourage? How can I stand beside them in the midst of their battles, in the midst of their problems, in the midst of their trials? Think this thought. Just don't think this thought. As you sit there, how many people are you comfortable with in this place sharing the trial, the thing, the issue that you're going through? A lot of people would say, I'm not comfortable at all. I don't know them. Do you know what? Most of these people sit next to you every Sunday. Right? And the more we get to talking to them, and the more we get to finding out about their lives, the more we get to find out they're going through the same exact issues I got. They're going through the same things I've gone, or they've gone through them. Or you know what? You build a relationship enough so that they understand where you've been. And when the issue starts creeping up in their life, they feel comfortable enough to come and speak to you. Right? That's what the body of Christ is supposed to do. Right? That's what we're supposed to do. Each and every one of us have been given a gift. Some of us is just to stand awkwardly behind them as they're doing what God's called them to do, but they know somebody's there. Does that make sense? We've been called to do those things, man. Let's do them. How do we do it? We humble ourselves. We say, God, you know what? This gift I've got is broken and messed up, but I don't know what you're going to do with it, but I'm going to do whatever you tell me to do with it and watch you do something amazing. Please don't turn it into a snake, right? Something amazing. And you know what? He'll do it. He'll do it. Bow your heads with me, man. Dear Heavenly Father, right now, man, we understand that by faith we receive everything that we get from you. That's how we get it. And right now, we're standing in faith together as a faith family, as a church. And we ask God, help us grow stronger together so that we can impact the people that are around us. Not just inside these walls that are here, but in the Three Lakes community that's there, in Umatilla, in Mount Dora, in Eustis, Tavares, wherever that you've placed us, Father God, in this area. Not so that we impact these four walls, but so that we impact the community, the people that you've given to us, to be able to share what your Son has done in us. I ask that you would help us with a boldness to be able to speak. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would come now and fill this place. That you would fill each and every one of us with the power that your word says that you have. Help us to pay attention to you and to listen to you and to walk in you so that we can be witnesses, so that we can have power to be able to give our testimony. We can be witnesses to who you are and what you've done and what you want to do in other people's lives. God, I ask that you would help us with that. If there's anything that's in our lives that doesn't need to be there, Holy Spirit, point it out. Show it to us. Let us see it. And then give us the strength, the fruit of self-control, self-discipline, to walk in what you've called us to walk in, to leave those things behind, to lay those things at your feet. And I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would move in a mighty way in each and every one of our lives and in turn affect everyone that's around us. We ask it now in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. I want you to leave this place, man, and go and find somebody to tell your testimony to. I want you to practice. So I'm going to say one more thing. And I said it a couple of weeks ago. So there was a couple that came to Praise Jesus Fest in Claremont, which we're going to do again in January. They asked me to come back and speak again. So I'm going to let you guys know. We can go ahead and hang out with them if you want to then. But there was a couple that walked up to April while the girls and myself were in the restroom. And she was sitting on a bench. And they came up and they started talking to her about the swimming area, because they got a little swimming area right there by where we're doing what we're doing. And they asked how deep it was the water cold? They asked these questions. And then they got to the reason why they asked those questions. They didn't care nothing about that water. They wasn't about to go swimming. It was in January. It was cold. We were all wearing like sweaters and hoodies. I had long sleeves on underneath my t-shirt, right? So they didn't care about the water. They weren't going swimming. They wanted to open up a door, an avenue, so that they could speak to her about something. And then they said this: our pastor has encouraged us to go up to random people and talk to them about Jesus. Tell them about what he's done in our life. And I would like to do that now. Can I tell you about those things? And she said, yes. And they just started talking. I want you to find random people and strike up some kind of conversation, whether you're talking about the price of gas at the pumps. I don't care. Don't get political with it, right? But you could talk about whatever you want to talk about. You could talk about the roast that she's about to cook in a minute. You could talk about, man, look, I had one of those Cokes yesterday. It was amazing. It was a new flavor. Whatever, you open up the door and then tell them, I just want to let you know, my pastor asked me to do this, so I want to do this. Jesus loves you, and he changed my life. And if you got a minute, I'd like to tell you what he's done in me. Then you got to tell them. And you know what? If they say no, I'm good, say, okay, I just want you to know Jesus loves you. The end. And don't be upset or don't be frustrated. And if you start talking and you get tongue-tied and you're twisted up and you're like, I don't really know what to say, end with Jesus loves you.
Works.
Jesus loves you. And you can walk away or you can stay there, whatever. Like, well, that's awkward. Hey, listen, it ain't going to get no easier. It's never going to get easier until you start doing it. Swimming was really hard first time, right? When they just chuck you in the water, and be like, right? That was really hard. But now most of y'all can swim like a champ, right? Why? Because you did it again, and you did it again, and you did it again. I want you to find some people this week. Try to do one a day. I know that's a lot. I'm asking a lot. That's seven times. Well, six till we come back, unless you count today. One person a day in any conversation, say, hey, can I tell you what Christ has done in my life? And then them tell you, it's like, he changed me. He completely changed me. How deep you want to go into it, don't edit it, but how deep you want to go into it with a perfect stranger, I get it. You just say, hey, he saved me. He brought me to be a part of the family, and I'm not alone in life anymore. And Jesus loves you. How much of an impact would that make? Right? Let's do that. Because we're all called to the ministry of reconciliation, according to the scripture. That's what that is. Me saying how good God is and pointing to him. Not saying, hey, I helped myself get out of this pit. God's good because he gave me the power for me to do it all by myself. Right? That's not how it works.